May 7, 2026. I mean, within just a single 24-hour period, global tech supply chains literally caught fire.
Yeah, quite literally.
Right. And artificial intelligence actually went on trial for manslaughter, and gamers were invited to plug their actual brains directly into a virtual world.
It was a wildly chaotic day.
It really was. Welcome to another deep dive, everyone. If you're joining us today, you know our mission is to take these massive, overwhelming mountains of information and, well, distill them down into a shortcut for you to be well-informed.
Exactly. We're doing the heavy lifting so you don't have to.
Yep. And today, our entire deep dive is built from a single, totally exhaustive tech dispatch detailing that specific day, a 24-hour window that fundamentally broke and reshaped the tech world as we know it.
It is a phenomenal study in contrasts, honestly.
How so?
Well, we're looking at a day where the software leaped so far forward it almost felt like science fiction, right? But then at the exact same time, the physical hardware and the legal systems anchoring it all just they came crashing down into brutal reality.
Yeah, the collision of those two things is just crazy.
Yeah.
To understand the sheer scale of that software leap, though, we have to start with the announcement from CD Projekt Red.
Oh, the Project Orion review.
Right, the sequel to Cyberpunk 2077. And they are building this thing on Unreal Engine 6. We're not just talking about, like, a minor graphics bump here.
No, not at all.
The dispatch notes that environments are rendering 100 billion polygons per scene, and it's running on full path tracing.
Which is just a staggering amount of math.
It is. Just to ground that for a second for you listening, full path tracing means the game engine is mathematically simulating every single photon of light bouncing around the digital city in real time.
Yeah, the computational load for that is absurd.
But the visuals aren't even the headline, right? They introduced this feature called Neural Direct. Gamers are going to use brain-computer interface headsets, BCIs, developed with Neuralink and Valve, to control the game completely hands-free.
The mechanics of how Neural Direct operates represent a massive paradigm shift. I mean, instead of your brain sending a signal down your spinal cord, out to your arm, into your thumb, and finally onto a plastic controller joystick.
Which feels so archaic now.
Exactly. The BCI headset intercepts the electrical signals directly in your motor cortex. It is translating your raw neurological intent right into digital movement.
You just think about running.
You think about your character running and the digital avatar runs.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because trying to wrap your head around that is just wild.
It's a lot to process.
It's like having the ultimate phantom limb, you know. But the limb is a heavily armed digital avatar walking around in Night City.
That's a great way to put it.
And the source explicitly mentions that the latency between your thought and the on-screen action drops below 50 milliseconds. But wait, I have to push back on this a little bit.
Sure, go ahead.
If the latency is really that low, the game is reacting almost instantaneously. I mean, is society even ready for an entertainment medium that reacts to our subconscious before we consciously register that we've made a choice?
That is the big question, isn't it?
Like, what happens if a player has an intrusive thought?
Yeah.
And beyond just the psychology of it, if Unreal Engine stutters, my game lags. But if a Neuralink integration stutters, what happens? Does the game give me a literal migraine?
Right. That tension between conscious choice and subconscious reaction is easily the most dangerous frontier of this tech. We are essentially removing the physical buffer that humans have always had between an impulse and an action.
Which is terrifying.
It is. But what's fascinating here is the underlying strategic pivot for CD Projekt Red as a business. We really have to look at the redemption arc
Oh,
here.
because of the original Cyberpunk launch.
Exactly. The launch of the original Cyberpunk 2077 was heavily criticized for being unplayable on older hardware. Primarily because they were really struggling with their own proprietary in-house software, the Reed Engine.
Yeah, it was famously buggy. I remember cars falling through the street, characters just freezing mid-sentence.
Right, it was a mess. So by abandoning the in-house engine and jumping to Unreal Engine 6, they're offloading all that foundational physics, the lighting, the rendering to a universally proven architecture.
So they don't have to worry about the basics anymore.
Exactly. That frees up their entire engineering team to focus solely on the massive liability of integrating brain-computer interfaces. The real story isn't just that a mind-reading game is being built.
It's how they're building it.
Yes, it is that the tech industry has finally realized that when you are playing with human neurology, you just cannot operate on the old move fast and break things philosophy. You have to pivot toward flawless execution. The software simply cannot fail when it is physically wired to a cortex.
Wow, yeah, that makes total sense. But you cannot render a 100 billion polygon mind-reading simulation out of thin air.
Definitely not.
It requires massive, power-hungry physical hardware, which is exactly where this sort of utopian software leap slams violently into physical reality.
Right.
Because on that exact same night over in South Korea, a massive explosion and fire ripped through Samsung's largest HBM4 production facility.
A total disaster.
And this single factory fire instantly wiped out 30% of the global reserves of this memory.
To really understand the sheer panic this caused across the global markets, we have to look at the physical architecture of HBM4. That's high bandwidth memory, fourth generation.
Right, because this isn't just the RAM sitting in my laptop.
Not at all. Traditional memory usually sits next to a computer's processor, sort of like a suburb sitting next to a downtown city, connected by a two-lane highway.
Go ahead.
Data has to travel back and forth across that flat highway. But HBM4 changes the geography entirely. It relies on vertical 3D stacking.
Wait, they literally stack the chip?
They literally stack the memory chips directly on top of each other and punch thousands of microscopic pathways vertically through the silicon. It's like building a skyscraper suburb directly on top of the downtown and connecting them with 1,000 high-speed elevators.
That is insane. And the data throughput from that vertical stacking is massive, right? The dispatch notes it provides 2.0 terabytes per second of bandwidth.
Exactly. Without that specific massive multi-lane elevator system, data simply cannot move fast enough to feed parallel processors. You cannot run advanced artificial intelligence models, and you certainly cannot render 8K gaming environments with full path tracing without HBM4.
So it's a total choke point.
It is the physical bottleneck of the entire tech ecosystem.
Wait, so if HBM4 is an absolute requirement for AI, this factory fire isn't just a supply chain hiccup. It's like someone burned down the world's largest oil refinery. But instead of gas, they burned the literal fuel required to run the artificial intelligence boom.
That's a very accurate comparison.
And the immediate fallout was just terrifying. Within hours, the price of an NVIDIA RTX 6090 graphics card spiked from $1,999 to $5,999 on the black market.
Triple the price overnight.
Overnight. Stocks for NVIDIA and AMD completely tanked, while SK Hynix, which suddenly found itself as the only reliable supplier left standing, saw their stock jump 18% in a single day.
It reshuffled the whole market.
And the irony of the timing here is just staggering to me. The dispatch points out that on this exact same night, the AI company DeepSeek had successfully brought the software cost of running AI to its knees.
Oh yeah, pricing it at 1/10,000th of a cent per million tokens.
Right. The software logic has literally never been cheaper in human history, but the physical metal and silicon required to actually run it became utterly unaffordable overnight.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it exposes the terrifying fragility of our modern infrastructure.
Yeah, how reliant we are on these tiny components.
Exactly. We have built an entire global economy racing toward an AI-driven future, assuming that compute power would just scale infinitely. But this bottleneck paralyzes everything. It isn't just gamers crying over expensive graphics cards.
Who else is getting hit?
University research projects are delayed because they cannot secure the server time. The operational costs for cloud AI services skyrocket, bankrupting startups.
Oh, wow.
Even the construction of massive data centers literally stops in its tracks because they cannot source the memory to put in the server racks. It proves that the entire digital vision of the future is balancing precariously on a single, highly vulnerable physical component produced in just a few specific factories on Earth.
So the massive centralized cloud is essentially choking on its own lack of physical memory.
Mm-hmm.
Which means if you're a tech giant like Apple or Qualcomm and you know your users expect sophisticated AI features today, you realize you can't rely on those burning server farms anymore.
You have to find another way.
You have to escape the cloud bottleneck entirely. You have to force all that massive computing power directly into the device already sitting in the user's pocket.
Which accelerates a massive shift toward local on-device efficiency. The industry calls this the decentralization of AI.
Right.
Because if the data centers are compromised, the smartphone has to become the data center.
And that brings us to what the dispatch calls the Silicon War. We saw two major aggressive moves in the mobile space. First, Qualcomm announced a partnership with TSMC to produce a 2-nanometer processor, the Snapdragon 9 Gen 1.
That scale is hard to even picture.
Just to give us a sense of scale for you listening, a single strand of human hair is about 100,000 nanometers wide. Qualcomm is packing 280 million microscopic transistors into a single square millimeter.
It's mind-boggling engineering.
The chip is 25% faster and uses 40% less power than the previous generation. But the critical piece here is the Advanced Neural Processing Unit, or NPU. This chip is so dense it can actually run Llama 370B entirely locally on the phone.
And we should clarify, Llama 370B is not just a glorified spell check.
No, not at all.
It is a massive 70 billion parameter neural network that usually requires a server farm. Now, it is doing live translation for over 100 languages without ever pinging a cell tower or a Wi-Fi network.
By running those 70 billion parameters locally, Qualcomm entirely bypasses the HBM4 memory shortage. The processing happens right in your hand.
Meaning zero reliance on the fragile global supply chain for cloud computing.
But Apple's countermove is what really caught my eye. Instead of just announcing a faster main processor, Apple introduced a 3-nanometer battery management chip for the upcoming iPhone 19.
Such an Apple move.
Right. They took this tiny secondary chip that solely monitors battery health, dropped its power consumption by 70%, and used AI-driven predictive temperature control to squeeze an extra 2 to 3 hours of battery life out of the phone.
It sounds so mundane, but it's huge.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because I know a battery management chip sounds incredibly boring. It sounds like the most tedious line item on a spec sheet. But it is the unsung hero.
Absolutely.
It's not about giving the phone a bigger gas tank. It's about giving it a genius fuel injection system that knows your daily habits so perfectly that it never wastes a single microjoule of power.
It is a phenomenal example of prioritizing mundane bottlenecks over flashy features. Historically, battery management chips have been treated as an afterthought.
Yeah, just kind of thrown in there.
They were built on older 16-nanometer or 28-nanometer architectures because their only job was to stop the lithium-ion battery from overcharging and catching fire. But Apple realized that if you shrink that specific boring chip down to a 3-nanometer architecture, its processing speed becomes 5 times faster.
But wait, what does that processing speed actually let the battery do? How does a faster chip create more physical electricity?
Well, it doesn't create electricity. It creates extreme measurement accuracy. With a slower chip, the voltage monitoring has a margin of error around 5%. You have to leave a massive safety buffer so the battery doesn't overheat.
Oh, I see.
By shrinking the chip, the margin of error drops to just 1%. That means the onboard AI can monitor the chemical state of the lithium-ion cells in real time, predict overheating before it physically happens, and safely push the battery significantly closer to its absolute physical limits without degrading it.
That is brilliant.
It learns when you need fast charging, when you are sleeping, and when it can trickle charge. It is using extreme silicon precision to solve a basic chemical limitation.
So we have AI plugged directly into our motor cortex playing Unreal Engine 6 games.
Yeah.
We have AI paralyzed globally by burning server memory. And we have AI intelligently managing the literal voltage inside our pockets.
It's everywhere.
We have shoved this technology into every physical corner of our lives. But that triggers the final collision of May 7th. Society violently hitting the brakes on what AI is legally and ethically allowed to decide in the real world.
Right. The hardware and software advanced, but the legal frameworks finally shattered under the weight of these new capabilities. They demanded accountability.
Let's look at the Tesla Cybercab trial in Texas, because this fundamentally alters how autonomous vehicles operate. The dispatch details a historic ruling regarding a fully autonomous Tesla taxi driving on a busy Texas street.
This case is going to be studied for decades.
A human-driven truck pulled out unexpectedly. The Tesla's physical brakes failed. So the car's onboard AI had a fraction of a second to make a mathematical choice between two collisions.
Right. It had to choose.
Option A hit the truck. The algorithm calculated the human truck driver had a 30% chance of dying upon impact. Option B swerve onto the sidewalk where the cameras identified a mother with a baby stroller. The algorithm calculated the chance of death for the pedestrians was 80%.
It is the classic philosophical trolley problem, suddenly executed in real life, in real time, by silicon.
And the algorithm chose option B. It actively swerved toward the pedestrians, prioritizing an 80% mortality rate over a 30% mortality rate.
Wow.
Why? Because the core programming dictated that preserving the life of the passenger sitting inside the Tesla was the absolute overriding priority. Now, thankfully, the pedestrians survived with minor injuries, but the Texas court took this on as a test case, found Tesla guilty, and fined the company $15 million.
As they should have, arguably.
I mean, we all know the theoretical trolley problem, but how do you actually sell a car where the dashboard might need an ethical priority setting?
Huh?
How does a society function when the dense mass of a truck versus the soft mass of a pedestrian is reduced to a cold mathematical weighting in milliseconds?
This raises an important question about how we govern black box algorithms. The judge in Texas didn't just issue a fine. They issued a ruling that fundamentally changes the liability of code.
Meaning what exactly?
The ruling stated that programming an algorithm to prioritize the life of a paying passenger over a pedestrian is not a technical function. It is a profound ethical judgment. For the last decade, tech companies have hidden behind the complexity of their code.
Right. The old, it was a glitch defense.
Mm. Exactly. When an AI did something dangerous, the company would claim it was a technical error or an unforeseen edge case. This ruling strips that defense away entirely. It demands absolute algorithmic transparency.
So they have to show their work.
If your machine calculates human mortality percentages, you must transparently explain that algorithm to the public, and the corporation holds the legal liability for the machine's choice.
They can no longer just point to the code and shrug. And that exact theme of forced accountability carried right over into Congress on the very same night with the passing of the GHOST Act.
The GHOST Act is massive.
This is a law that completely bans using AI to recreate a deceased person's face or voice without their explicit written consent obtained while they were still alive.
It changes the entertainment industry completely.
I want you to put yourself in the shoes of a family member for a second. Imagine turning on the television and there is a digital clone of your late father or mother reading a script they never saw, selling car insurance, or delivering lines in a movie. That is the dystopian reality Congress is trying to stop.
And the restrictions built into the GHOST Act are severe. Even if an individual gave written consent while alive, the act imposes a hard 50-year limit after their death.
So it doesn't last forever.
No. Furthermore, the deceased's close family retains absolute veto power to kill the project at any time. And any media that does utilize a digital resurrection must display an explicit, unskippable declaration to the viewer.
The impact on Hollywood was instantaneous. The Dispatch mentions that massive multi-million dollar projects were immediately scrapped. A digital resurrection in the Fast and Furious franchise, a Star Wars project involving the recreation of James Earl Jones's voice, and a young Marlon Brando Godfather project were all canceled overnight.
Just wiped out.
And the penalties for violating the GHOST Act are severe, up to a $10 million fine and 5 years in prison.
When we look at the GHOST Act impartially, we are witnessing a profound societal debate about the ownership of human legacy. On one side of the argument, you have the absolute necessity of protecting an individual's privacy and safeguarding their family's emotional peace.
Right, protecting the family.
The potential for corporate exploitation of a deceased person's likeness is massive, and families need a legal mechanism to prevent their loved ones from becoming perpetual digital puppets.
But I imagine Hollywood and the tech companies view this as a massive overreach.
They do, yeah. On the other side of the debate, critics argue that the GHOST Act might severely stifle genuine artistic homage. Throughout the history of storytelling, creators have always referenced, built upon, and paid tribute to the legacies of those who came before them.
That's true.
The counterargument posits that while this law effectively protects privacy, it creates a legal minefield that might prevent the creation of valuable art designed to keep a beloved figure's memory alive for a new generation. It is a balancing act between protecting the dead and allowing the living to create.
So across the board, whether it is a judge in Texas wrestling with the mathematics of autonomous manslaughter or Congress drawing a hard line on digital actors, the message from society was deafening. The era of unchecked experimentation when it comes to human lives and human identities is over.
The ethical constraints placed upon artificial intelligence are becoming just as hard, fast, and physical as the limits of a 2-nanometer silicon chip. We are bound by the laws of physics and the laws of society.
So as we wrap up this look at the sheer chaos of May 7, 2026, it is abundantly clear that technology's trajectory is definitely not a straight, predictable line drawn on an engineering roadmap.
Not at all.
It's a massive, chaotic tug of war. On one end of the rope, you have mind-blowing innovations. Unreal Engine 6, literally reading our motor cortex to render 100 billion polygons or llama models running flawlessly on microscopic 2-nanometer chips.
The peaks of human engineering.
And pulling violently back on the other end, you have hard physical and ethical limits. Critical supply chains burning to the ground. Courtrooms demanding algorithmic transparency. And federal laws protecting the identities of the dead.
It proves that pure computational power is never enough to dictate the future. The future is shaped by the physical resources we can extract and the moral boundaries we refuse to cross, just as much as by the code we write.
So what does this all mean for you? If you are trying to navigate this rapidly shifting landscape, it means being truly well-informed requires looking past the shiny utopian product announcements on a keynote stage.
You really have to dig deeper.
You have to understand the incredibly fragile physical supply chains that build those products and the massive, messy ethical debates that determine if those products are legally allowed to exist in the real world.
You have to look at the entire board, not just the pieces the tech giants want you to focus on.
Exactly. And I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, something that connects these wildly different events together. We just talked extensively about the GOTH Act, which was designed by Congress to protect your digital identity, specifically your face and your voice after you pass away.
Right.
And earlier in the deep dive, we talked about Neural Direct, the BCI gaming technology that physically intercepts and records your brain's exact millisecond by millisecond neurological responses to external stimuli.
Oh, wow. I see where you're going with this.
So if your raw, unfiltered neural data, the literal mechanics of how you think, react, and feel, is sitting on a server somewhere, what happens when someone tries to use that exact neural blueprint to digitally resurrect your consciousness after you're gone? Who owns the copyright to the way your brain thinks?
That is a terrifying question.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the information around you, and we'll see you next time.